If you have your Bibles, turn to James chapter 3. James chapter 3. We are thankful for each one this morning. Glad you've come out. I know a storm is knocking on the door, seemed like. We're glad we could at least gather here this morning. Glad to have these preacher brethren with us and their families. And every visitor, we're glad that we could all meet together. It is an honor and privilege to be here. This is not something that, you know, anybody made us do. This is something that we get the privilege to do, is come be in the house of the Lord. And so this morning, that being said, I want to preach on what I would say is a hard subject to preach on, because we live in a day that we might would call the information age. We live in a day where everybody's very high on their own opinion. We live in a day and time in which if somebody thinks it, they say it. And so I want to preach on the tongue. And that in itself, you know, you have to use your tongue in order to even preach a message. So be very careful and ask God to give you the grace. And I do ask God to give me the grace to be able to bring His message this morning. Because please understand, this is not Brother Brad's message. This is God's message. And we need to pay attention to it. It is the Word of God. You know, when you think about the tongue, the Bible says that we are to speak the truth, but He tags it with this, speak the truth in love. So, you know, we're to be loving even when we tell someone the truth. Now, many times Jesus spoke the truth, and it was very, you might would say, a very harsh truth that He spoke, but He still loved as He would speak that. He still wanted the end result is for souls to be saved. And for the saved to be encouraged, for the church to be edified. And so the Bible tells us this, Brother Jake, He said, don't even open your mouth, except it be for the good of edifying. So if I'm going to speak, I need to pay attention to how that's going to affect others. Because when I speak, those words need to edify. In other words, it needs to lift up the body of Christ. And if it does not do that, then I would be better off just not to speak at all. So don't dwell on things that will not build up the body of Christ. James 3, verse 1. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. Think about that. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which, though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. We're going to cease reading with these first six verses this morning. The tongue is a fire. I want to get that on your heart this morning. The tongue is a fire. And He says, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. You know, you think about that one spark. A lot of these wildfires we see, especially off out in the West, you see it every year now because there's a lot of junk that will burn. They don't burn the underbrush down. There's a lot of junk that will burn. And you see massive, massive forest fires. And if you were to trace it back, well, what caused it? One little spark. Just one little flame. Just a little bit of fire. Just a match. Just a cigarette thrown out the window. Just one little spark. And it can consume an entire forest. And in doing so, burn down homes. Burn down buildings. Burn down businesses. You know, kill and destroy everything in its path, until it completely consumes. And all that began with just a little fire. Just a little fire. So what a great warning the Lord has for us about our tongue, Brother Freddie, that we need to pay attention to our tongue, because the tongue is a fire, and it can set on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. And so how great a matter a little fire can kindle. You know, again, the tongue setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. Let's think about Peter. We mentioned him in Sunday school this morning and talked about him a good bit. Peter's tongue at one time was used of the devil. Now, we're talking about what we would say Jesus' right-hand man, Peter. There's not many that were very much closer to the Lord than probably Peter was. And yet there was a time whenever the Lord rebuked him because of the words that come out of his mouth. Because those words, when he spoke them, not so, Lord, as he would, Jesus said, look, I'm basically letting him know I'm going to die on the cross. And he takes him by the garment. Not so, Lord, this cannot happen. Get thee behind me, Satan. Was it Satan or was it Peter? Well, if you looked at him, it was Peter. It's Peter's body. His words coming out of Peter's mouth. But Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. He didn't wrestle against Peter. He wrestled against that principality, powers, rulers of darkness. He wrestled against the devil there. Get thee behind me, Satan. But look at the words that come out of his mouth. All right, what? Let's examine them words just a minute, because they sound like good words. They do sound like the right thing to say, really. Brother D, if I'd have been in his shoes, more than likely, I would have said about the same thing. Why? Because we are emotional creatures. That was an emotional, intense situation. I'm going to die. No, that cannot happen. That's what we want to say when it's a friend that's dying. When it's a friend that's in trouble, we get emotional about it. And when we get emotional, we say things that may not be edifying. We say things that may start a fire. We say things that may consume, may burn down, may harm. And so the Lord rebukes him for the words that come out of his mouth. I think about Galatians, the church there of the Galatians, and how that Paul goes through on that first missionary journey, and churches are established, and he goes back through to confirm them and to ordain elders in those churches. And later on, as he would write a letter to them, he said, "Oh, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? Who come along and told you of another gospel? Who come along and said something to you that would turn you from the gospel, which is the true gospel? You've been turned to another gospel, which is not the gospel. You've been turned to false teaching. Who hath bewitched you?" See, the power of words. Someone, somewhere, told them something that was wrong. And they believed it. And they accepted that. All right, let me give you one more. Job, going through all the trouble he was going through, all the problems he faced, the hurt that was in his heart, everything that would make someone very emotional. And his wife, watching him suffer, watching all these things come upon him, and going and said, "Why don't you just curse God and die? How long maintain thine integrity? How long will you pretend to be righteous? Why don't you just go ahead and die?" Again, I believe those words that were spoken, not out of us. She didn't want to see her husband die, but she was tired of seeing him suffer. She got very emotional with that. And listen at what Job, a righteous man, a perfect man before God, would say. "You speak as one of the foolish women speak. You need to watch words coming out of your mouth. That's not of God. That's not edifying. That's not encouraging. Look at what he said to those encouragers that come his way. You are miserable comforters with the words that you're saying. You come and you're telling me things, and it's not helping me. It's hurting me. It's tearing me down. And so words, the Bible says words fitly spoken, they're like apples of gold and pitchers of silver. That's a neat little verse you want to hang on your refrigerator. Fitly spoken words are like apples of gold and pitchers of silver. But it's more than just a neat little saying that we ought to hang on the refrigerator. It's something I'll live by. A lot of times we have them refrigerator verses, don't we? But how many of us are living by the Word of God? That's how we are to live our lives, by the Word of God, not by our emotions, not by how I feel, not by what I think somebody ought to know, but rather by the Word of God. Words that are fitly spoken. Well, let's look at the other side of that. What about words that are unfit to speak? What about those words? Words that set on fire the course of nature. What is he talking about there? The course of nature, when it comes to words, Brother Alton, is to, if I hear it, I tell it. That's nature. I want to pass it on. It's the nature of man to tell a tale. Oh, let me tell you about that deer I killed. Let me tell you about that speeding ticket I got. Let me tell you about what happened at church today. We won't tell a tale. We want somebody to listen to us. In fact, Brother Allen, we've gotten so good at telling tales, we don't listen to tales anymore. We just tell them. And we'll tell them while somebody's telling us a tale. Don't have time to listen to your tale. I've got one I need to tell. So we'll pass on juicy gossip. We get a high, if that's the right term to use, we get a high out of telling what we have learned. Let me tell you what I heard. Let me tell you what I read on Facebook. Let me tell you about this. Let me tell you about that. And the more we do, the more we get emotional about it, and we get hyped up. And the more somebody will listen to it, the more we want to tell it, and the juicier it'll get. What's a fishing tale? That fish that was that big. That's how they go. Boy, I seen a deer come out the other day, and let me tell you. That's what I'm going to make it as good as I can make it. Acts 17, verse 21 says, "For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing." Paul would come in and he rebuked them. You know what he said in the next verse? He said, "You Athenians, now, all they ever did when..." That's what he noticed about them. All they do is sit around and they want to learn or tell some new thing. And here's what Paul told them. He said, "I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious." I perceive that you're too superstitious. You've got your mind, you know, it's so out there. And so let me bring you back to the Word of God. Let me bring you back to the one true God. Let's get back down with our feet on the ground. Let's get out of the big tales. Let's come back to the truth. Let me tell you about the one true God. I tell you what, that'll bring us back to reality. That'll get our emotions back in check. That'll get us back in line with Scripture if we'll stop and, okay, everybody's saying everything, so let me come back to what's real, what's important, what matters. I tell you what, when the world is on fire and everything we know and love burns down, we'll still have this. It'll still be true. It'll still be on point. It'll still be, all the fact checkers in the world can check it, and it's still going to hold up. It's the truth. So that's what we need in a world that says, what is truth? Do we have truth? Yes, we have truth. Everybody threw it out the window. It's the truth. So, these Athenians, they were learning, they were telling, and they were hearing, and yet the more that they learned, the more superstitious they became. And so, study the Word. What's 1 Timothy 2 tell us to pray about? Pray for our those in authority. Pray for them. Why? So that we can live quiet, peaceable lives. We can live quiet and peaceable lives. Look at Proverbs 26. Sunday school lesson this morning was on what? Repentance. God's message for us this morning on what? The tongue. Pay attention to how God works. Put me at the top of the list. Go ahead and sign me up. Put me at the top of the list. I preach to you, but there's things in my life I need to stop. And God, I need you to forgive me. Rather than being part of the solution, I may be part of the problem. Proverbs 26, verse 20. Where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. The tongue is a fire, and it set on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. So what do we do about that? If any man is able to bridle the tongue, you know, he's able to do the whole body. But then again, we have to do it through the grace of God. You don't have the power on your own to overcome the tongue. No man can tame the tongue, but God can help us. He can help us get a handle on it. And so what do we do about this tongue that sets on fire the course of nature? He said, remove the wood and the fire goeth out. Think about that. That's a pretty simple solution to the problem right there. Is just remove the wood. You know, a spark. I mentioned a spark. It can burn an entire forest down. It'll burn until it has no more fuel left to burn. If the forest is 100 acres, it'll burn all of it. If it's 1,000 acres, it'll keep going. If it's 10,000 acres, it'll keep going until it is either extinguished or till it runs out of fuel. It'll continue to go. Someone can come along, though, that fire breaks out, and someone come along, get a tractor, a bulldozer, and begin to do what? Cut a fire break. Just, you know, dirt. Just cut a trail around that forest a little bit. And what they'll do is they'll contain that fire. So, well, it can jump, but I know it can. But it certainly does a good job as far as it. You'll contain it, and whenever it burns up all its fuel, it'll just burn out. Fire just go out. Gone. Can I encourage you this morning to be one that removes the fuel from the fire? Nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with just walking away. There's nothing wrong with just being silent. In fact, the Bible encourages at times that's what we need to do. There's wisdom in just being silent. Can I encourage you to start plowing a break? Be one that removes the fuel from the fire. You think about a husband and a wife. Husband and wife, they get on this habit of fussing at each other. One says one thing and the other says something back, and then they say something back and back. And I got to be a little bit worse and a little bit meaner. And no, I tell you, you're not going to talk to me like that. Let me tell you, this is the truth. Well, I don't think that is the truth. I think what I believe is the truth. And you can argue back and forth, and you know what to fix it? Take the wood off the fire. Just pull the log off the fire. Don't give any fuel to burn. And all of a sudden, it goes out. You can't. It's hard. Brother Boy, it's hard to argue with yourself. I know some people do it, but we'd say they're crazy. But It's hard to argue with yourself. You know, the Bible says, why would you not rather take Rome? Sometimes you may, well, I tell you what, I ain't going to let her do that to me. I ain't going to let her say that to me. Just take some Rome. May not be wrong. You may just think it's wrong. You may come around after a while and see a different angle. So, you ever been fussing for 30 minutes and then realize, you know what, I may be wrong in this, but I'm going to keep on going. I'm not going to let her win now. Amen. Not going to let her have this. Just take the wood off the fire. Husbands and wives, we're to set an example to our children. We're to set an example to the world. Our as we grow up in our marriage, it's to look more and more like Christ's love for the church. That's what it should show the world. Think about this nation. Be much better off if we learned to turn off the TV, turn off the news from time to time, and just remove the wood from the fire altogether. But what if I'm telling the truth? Let me tell you what the truth of God's word is. Let thy words be few. Let the truth be spoken in love. Make sure it will edify the body of Christ. Because our words are as coals to burning coals. If you read on, it's like coals to burning coals. In other words, they carry on long after they're spoken. They fuel the next conversation. They may be added to. They may be twisted around. Sometimes people twist your words a little bit. They'll keep on going. Somebody come along and say, Brother Brad said such and such. And you think, I didn't say it exactly like that now. But look, you're going to let them out there. And somebody else has done added to it and twisted them a little bit. Next thing you know, it's a mess. Words carry on long after they're spoken. They may harm someone that you didn't even intend to harm. So be careful with them. Before you speak, obviously, is what I'm saying the truth? There are such things as liars. They're everywhere. Some people just lie. You know there's people that lie and say, I tell you the truth. And they'll be lying to you while they say it. I tell you the truth. No, you don't. You lie. I've known a few of them that I just about sized them up. If they're speaking to me, they're lying to me. But if you're going to speak, make sure that they're the truth and then make sure that they're helpful. That's what edifying is. It helps. It builds up. Make sure that they're going to inspire someone. Make sure that they're necessary. Sure, they're kind. You know, even when Paul rebuked someone, he said, look, when I do this, I'm doing it out of love. I'm not trying to hurt you. This is for your benefit that I even rebuke you. And I think we can tell the difference. You know, you got a good friend and they come along and they rebuke you. You don't have to get mad at them. We usually do, but you don't have to. You say, thank the Lord. Someone come along and set me straight. I was wrong. I tell you what, it's a lot easier if they do it in love. So this morning, church, listen, this has been a burden of my heart. I know last week we talked about being the light of the world. Maybe Wednesday night, light of the world. But souls are at stake. And while we get emotionally built up over things and we say things we ought not say, there's souls that are being hindered. We are the light of the world. Foolish words, unfit words hinder people. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That's good. I don't like that saying. There's been people that's been hurt far worse by words than they ever were by sticks and stones. Words can hinder. Words are, that tongue is a fire. And it sets on fire the course of nature, and it's set on fire of hell. Matthew chapter 12, Jesus addresses, well, he said, "Oh, generation of vipers." Jesus said that? Yes, he did. It was good for them. That's what they were. Snakes in the grass is what we'd say. "Oh, generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things?" So what? That don't sound like very soft words. They were not soft words. But they were right words. And the Holy Spirit give us wisdom to know the difference. He said, "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." What he's pointing out to them was, your heart's wicked. These words that's coming out of your mouth, they show us what's in your heart. And what it shows is you're a generation of vipers. Our mouth reveals our heart to the listener. Think about that when you're around someone that's lost. Your heart, your words rather, reveal your heart to that listener. He said, "Don't let bitter and sweet come out of the same fountain." You don't go and praise the Lord and then curse Him. You don't do that. That is a hindrance. That is a hurt. You don't let ugly words come out and then turn around and sing "Amazing Grace." You don't do that. "Well, Brother Brad, you know, we're all just human." Listen to me. You are a child of God. If you know the Lord, you're a child of God. Act like it. Act like it. Don't just act. Do it. Be a child of God that when someone sees you, they say, "I see His good works. Let me glorify His Father, which is in heaven." That's for something.